So Paul Vickers joins us today, friends of Aldershot Museum. So today we're talking about the Aldershot Heritage Trails, which are taking place. Six trails exploring the civilian and military history of Aldershot. Where do we begin, Paul?
That's a good question. Where do we begin? I think we should really begin before the army.
Okay.
Because a lot of people talk about Aldershot from the time the army arrived in the mid-1850s. But Aldershot was here hundreds of years before then. It was a small village centered around the parish church of St. Michael the Archangel and what is now Manor Park, which was Aldershot Manor, the manor house and its grounds. And the village was like a triangle, one point church. At the eastern point was the Red Lion pub, which it's, there's still a Red Lion pub. And at the other western point was the Beehive. So it was like a triangle with the two pubs and the church and the little village in the centre. But this was a small agricultural village, one or two typical trades, blacksmiths, joiners, carpenters. But most of the inhabitants were agricultural farmers or farm labourers. And it was utterly insignificant, just like hundreds of other typical villages of the time. And so we have the village trail is one of the six trails, and that looks at this area of the old village, and it stretches a bit out to show the expansion of the village in later times after the army arrived.
So how long have you lived in?
I've lived here since 1983.
Right, okay. And what took your interest to Aldershot?
Well, I used to work for the Army Library Service.
Okay.
And since I was about 14 years old, I've all been interested in military history, and military history has always been my big interest. So I started in the Army Libraries at Bulford on Salisbury Plain, but the library I really wanted to work in was the Prince Consort's Library in Aldershot, because that was the Army's military specialist library. And in 1983, the previous librarian retired, and I was fortunate enough when I applied to get the appointment. And as soon as I arrived in Aldershot, the combination of the Aldershot itself and my military history interest came together. And I was ex officio on what was then the Aldershot Military Historical Trust, which was chaired by the late Brigadier John Reed, who had been a garrison commander before he retired. And he was the man who realised that a lot of Aldershot's history was being lost. So when he retired, he formed the Aldershot Military Historical Trust with the aim of both preserving the heritage that was left and founding a museum. And this became the Aldershot Military Museum. So I was involved on the trust, and when the Friends were founded, I became one of the founder members of the Friends, initially as vice chairman, and subsequently I've been chairman and different other posts within the Friends, and I'm back as chairman again now. So
what do you love about the area then?
Its story is unique. It's absolutely fascinating when you realise just how important Aldershot was to the army, and by extension to the national defence of the country. This isn't just local history, this is actually national military history that we're dealing with here. It was one of these stories that you realise that when, you know, the decision was made in the end of 1853 to found the army's first permanent training camp in Aldershot. And up to this point, the army didn't have a big training camp. The memo that the commander-in-chief wrote at the time said that there was nowhere in Britain was there more than one battalion in one place, and often less than that. The army was scattered across the country. And this was deeply unsatisfactory, because for the warfare of the time, they needed to operate in large formations, divisional-sized at least, you know, or brigade size, at least, shall we say, up to divisional size. And the reform movements in the army in the 1850s, this was one of their big things, that they had to have better training facilities, better exercising. And they came to Aldershot because a number of reasons, but primarily it was heathland. And there was not just Aldershot Heath itself where they could put the garrison, but there was lots of areas around of, again, sort of heath-type land that they could acquire for exercising. So places like Long Valley, Cove Common, Ash Common. So the army came here to really set up their first big training camp. And it transformed the army in many ways. This became the absolute centre. From first deciding, the first soldiers arrived here in 1855, May of 1855. And within about 2 or 3 years, we had 15,000 soldiers here.
My word.
Now, Aldershot Village itself had a very small population because it was just a tiny rural village. Mm-hmm. And suddenly 15,000 soldiers appear on its doorstep. And again, it transforms the village. In fact, because the army arrived on Aldershot Heath, then lots of entrepreneurs, shall we say, from different areas, anybody who thought they could make money out of 15,000 soldiers started to set up their businesses as close as they could. So along the southern edge of the camp in Aldershot and along the northern edge of the camp in what became South Farnborough. And these were selling every kind of goods and service to the soldiers, anything to relieve the soldier of his money. But the time they set up the camp, the Crimean War was happening. So they built the camp as quickly as they could. It was all wooden huts because they needed to build it very, very quickly. So these entrepreneurs also set up wooden shacks for their businesses. But come the end of the war, the Prince Consort suggested to the Commander-in-Chief that if he wanted to, now was the time. He said, now is the time to put permanent buildings on the land because public opinion, as a result of the Crimean War, nobody would oppose it. And once you've put permanent buildings on the land, he said, no one can ever move you off it. So they built the first permanent barracks between 1856 and 1860, which was a line of barracks across the very southern edge of the camp along what we now think of as Wellington Avenue. The rest of the camp was all wooden huts. But that building of the permanent barracks, that statement that we were here to stay, or the army was here to stay, meant that all the entrepreneurs who had their wooden shacks realized that, again, the army was here to stay. This was for the long term. So they started to build in brick, and they built their own permanent buildings. And that became Aldershot Town Centre.
Right, so okay.
A complete new town centre appeared on what had previously been farmers' fields, barley, rye, potatoes. And this is about a mile and a half away from the centre of the old village. So the bit between eventually has obviously got filled in with, mm-hmm. with residential developments. And it's why, you know, if you look at Aldershot, we have a remarkably long high street that goes from the Queen Hotel right down to the bottom of Church Hill. And that's because, as I say, in effect, Aldershot Centre moved from the centre of the village to this new town centre, the Victorian town centre. And it's why, again, if you walk around Aldershot Town Centre and look up from the horrible modern shop fronts, look up to the buildings above, you'll see so much surviving Victorian detail because it was all built within, you know, 2 or 3 decades.
It's amazing, isn't it? Concentrating on the trail here then, so you obviously had a huge input into the 6 trails that were taking place. So how did you actually begin something like this, or a project?
Well, it grew out of the annual Heritage Open Days, which have been running for well over 25 years now, about 27 years, I think, mm-hmm. we're up to now. And this is a national event which every year happens over the first weekend in September, which has two aims. One is that places which are not normally open to the public will open, and the other is to have special events that highlight local history and heritage. So the Friends of the Aldershot Military Museum, from the start of Heritage Open Days, we were organising events, and some of the most popular were guided walks around the around different parts of the town, both the military and civilian. And so it really grew out of those that the Rushmore Borough Council and Aldershot Garrison So, you know, these are very popular. Can we make these into something more permanent so that rather than people just going round on Heritage Open days, they can go around at any time and they don't, again, don't need a guide. They can go by themselves. So a group was formed. There was a small working group of the main partners, which was Rushmore Borough Council, the Friends of the Aldershot Military Museum, and Granger PLC. Granger were involved because they are the lead developer for the Wellesley development, which is across the centre of what was the area of the camp, what was Stanhope Lines. So they would put the heritage trail across their area. And we would also put in other trails to cover different parts. So with the Army's cooperation, we were allowed to have the Marlborough Trail, named after Marlborough Lines, which was the north camp of the garrison, and is now the largely the working Army garrison. But there are roads around which are publicly accessible, so we could put a trail in there. Say Granger's across the middle. And then, obviously, we needed to cover the civilian story. So there's a trail, the town trail does the Victorian Edwardian town centre. The village trail does the old village, which we were talking about earlier. And we have the two other trails, the Redan Trail and the Wellington Trail, which are the southeast and southwest corners of the camp and go from the camp into the areas that are now also part of the civilian town. So North Town for the Redan Trail, and into places like the Beaumont estate for the Wellington Trail.
So how did you come up with the idea of an app then? How did that come about?
That came about because we'd been working for some considerable time on the heritage trails. We'd worked out the routes. We knew the points of interest, which took a lot of doing, and there was a lot of work going on into researching the content. But the original plan was that this would be very much a physical trail, that we would put signs on all the points of interest and we would put markers in the road to tell you where to go. But this was very, very expensive. We really were struggling to find the funds, particularly because of COVID. Mm-hmm. COVID, understandably, was the top priority. People were taking all the funding was going to COVID. But it was really, again, through the Heritage Open days that there was a big change, because in 2020, the Heritage Open days largely went digital. And they put out some very useful information to the different HODS organisers, such as ourselves, on how we could use digital because we couldn't have physical events during lockdown. And one of the events that we did as the Friends was a virtual guided tour using one of the apps that they'd recommended. And we thought this was very successful. It was very popular. People who did it really enthused about it. And we thought, this is the future. You know, we shouldn't really be too tied up with the physical. We want some physical markers. You have to mark the trail some way. But we don't have to go so physical as we've been intending. We could actually deliver digitally through an app or through the website, which not only allowed us to do it at less cost, but also give a lot more information, a lot more features to the visitors. They could take the app with them on their phone as they walk around. You would get the audio, the commentary, you get text, you get images, you get some interactive features as well at different places. So it makes it a lot more enjoyable for the visitor. It makes it more interesting. We can give them more information. We can show them a lot more images than we could, for example. And we have things like the interactive features, which make it a bit more fun, especially for, should we say, for the younger people who want to go around.
I think it's quite modern, isn't it? It's a modern way of doing something. And like you said, it will kind of get the younger ones involved in it a little bit more, because they're excited because they've got an app on their phone or whatever and seen that going around, for instance.
Yes, absolutely. And I think what we've got, I think, and it took a lot of a lot of thought and a lot of debate amongst the various partners, is getting the right mix and the right balance. Mm-hmm. So while the main delivery is through the app, for all the reasons that we've talked about. There's also a website for people who haven't got a smartphone or for whatever reason can't use a smartphone. There's a website that has all the same information on it, although not the interactive stuff, because that has to be on the... But all the information, all the content, all the history, the images is also replicated on the website. We've kept some physical. We think that's absolutely vitally important that we keep some of the signs around the town. There are signs to mark the start point of every trail. There are also signs at different places where a lot of people come through or particularly interesting as well. So that tells people a bit of history and also alerts them to the fact that there are the trails. And we have QR codes on there so they can zap straight into the trail if they want to. And then there is the printed booklet for people who...
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. The little brochure that you brought into us today to explain the heritage trails to us. And also looking forward to it. And hopefully, fingers crossed, is going to bring a few more people into the town who possibly don't know the history behind their town that they've lived in.
Yes, very much so. I mean, we're aiming really at two audiences. We're aiming at the residents of Aldershot, who, as you rightly say, some know a lot about the history, some don't know very much. And we're hoping that as they walk the trails with the app or from the website, they will understand a lot more about the history of Aldershot, how it grew up, its relation to the army, how the army and the civilian town grew up together. They will also understand a lot of the places, the buildings, for instance, around the town centre that they may walk past every day and don't realise have this remarkable history behind them or what they used to be. So, you know, that will build the Aldershot citizens' sense of pride in Aldershot, a sense of shared community across Aldershot. But we also had one eye on people from outside, you know, people who... are looking for something to do, who don't know Aldershot, and they look at this and say, wow, you know, if there's six trails there, you know, 186 points of interest, there's got to be something there to see, and we'll come into Aldershot, and this will bring new people into Aldershot, and they will have a different view of Aldershot, because, you know, anywhere around Britain, still to this day, you mention Aldershot, they think army barracks. You know, let's show them that there is a different side to this, that there is more to Aldershot than the public imagination. And I get this from people who come from outside. As even as I take them round the military town, they're amazed and they say, "Wow, I didn't realise it was so open and so green and really so nice." You know, because they had this sort of Victorian barracks picture in their mind. So, yes, bring more people in and. Help Aldershot. I mean, at the moment, as we know, there's a huge amount of construction going on in Aldershot. So the town centre, should we say, is not looking at its best at this moment because of all the construction work that's happening. But I think it's still important that we can point out that despite all this, you know, there's still these places of great historical interest, nice buildings, nice old Victorian heritage sites to look at. And again, try and help the image of Aldershot.
I think it's nice to have a town like Aldershot, for instance. You've got the new, which is being developed at the moment, and you also got your old and you've got your history behind it. And I think that brings a whole new generation of people to come into the town.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. I mean, again, one of the audiences that we're looking at for the Heritage Trails are the people who are coming new to Aldershot because of all the development. I mean, the Wellesley development seems to be filling up as fast as they've finished a house. Somebody's in it, as far as I can see. You know, there's a huge demand. And we have these two huge developments in the town centre now, which are going to bring much more residential to the town centre. And again, people will be coming in from the outside and they won't know about the area they're in. So we hope that they will find the heritage trails and find that this is actually a very enjoyable and interesting way to learn about the town that they're now living in.
I think it's also a way of inviting visitors from other parts of the country, for instance, to think, hey, we could do this in our town, for instance.
Well, yes. I mean, there are some trails, obviously, in different towns, but I'm not sure that a town the size of Aldershot has actually managed to produce something of this extent. As I say, six trails, 186 places of interest across the six trails. It's quite remarkable, and it just shows the depth of the history and heritage that is in our area.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, we're coming into the summertime now, for instance, or whenever you're listening to this podcast, for instance. Get yourself involved in the Aldershot Heritage Trails. So if anyone wants to find out any more information then, Paul?
Yes, the best place to go is the Trails website, which is aldershot.placesandtrails.com. Alternatively, for the app, if you go into either the Apple App Store or into Google Play for the Android versions, just search for Aldershot Heritage Trails and you'll be able to download the apps from the app stores.
Well, I've got to say, it's a full credit to you and your team that have got this up on the ground. And thanks to bringing it to our attention.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.